Well, we greet you at Hathaway Hills, and we just want you to know that we at Liberty Baptist Church are praying for you. We know this has become a long ordeal with the COVID thing, and we sure miss being able to come to you, and we've been praying for you. And today we'd like to continue on part two of the series of prayer, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide now in this matter of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to start talking about prayer. And as we told you last time, we have a prayer list that it's absolutely free. And if it would help you, we'd love to send you one. Just give us a call and we'll do that. But I find that, a lot of people stop praying because they think it isn't doing any good. And that just might be you today. Maybe you haven't been doing much praying. Maybe this whole COVID-19 thing has kind of got you discouraged. And maybe you feel like it doesn't do any good to pray. Well, it does. I know the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil would like us to think it doesn't do any good to pray. But it does. It does do good. And so let's begin by this passage here in Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, to this end, that men ought always to what? To pray, and not what? To faint. You see, if we faint spiritually, we'll quit praying. Now, where do we get faith? Well, let's continue on this. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now I know many of you have lost your mates, your husband or wife, and so you are there at Hathaway Hills. But don't be discouraged. This incident here is talking about the same thing. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her what? Continual coming, she weary me. This widow was not going to give up. Let me ask you a question. Will you keep on praying? Or will you give up? I want you to keep on praying. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them. It seems that way, doesn't it, sometimes? It seems that way that we are crying out to God. And it may seem for days or weeks or months or sometimes years. It may seem like God hasn't answered yet. But don't give up. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith on the earth. That is why, my friends, we stop praying is because it's a faith problem. When we stop praying, when we give up praying about something, the problem is us and our faith. Where do we get faith? Well, the Bible is very clear about that. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then what? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Well, hearing what? And hearing by the Word of God. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's the Word of God. It's the Bible. This is where we get faith. And if we give up praying, it's because of our faith. We've fainted spiritually. So where do we get faith? From the Bible. And that's why I pray that this little prayer list could be a blessing to you, because it has many suggestions for what to pray. And with it, most importantly, it has scripture verses. Remember what this says? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Let's say it again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Say it together with me. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say it one more time. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So next time someone asks you and say, well, if someone says, I'm sorry, but I just don't have the faith to believe this or that. You know what to tell them now, don't you? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we are lacking faith, when we are doubting, this is the place to go to get faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not something we just have to emotionally stir up. Faith, well, let's look at another verse here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. The Bible says, now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the what? Evidence of things not seen. So faith is not an emotional thing. It's like, oh, I wish I had faith to do this or that. It's not an emotional thing we have to build up. Faith requires two things. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith requires two things to it: substance and evidence. This right here is where we get our substance and evidence. It's in writing. If the police officer pulls you over, he's not going to ask you, do you feel like you're capable of driving? Do you feel like you should be on the road? No, what's he going to ask you for? He's going to ask you for your driver's license. I want to see your driver's license. I want to see if you have something in writing that proves you are capable of driving. That's what he wants to see. It has nothing to do with emotions. Our faith has nothing to do with emotions. Our faith has everything to do with substance and evidence. If someone were to ask you today, are you 100% sure you are going to heaven? How would you answer? Would you say, I hope so? Would you say, I don't know, I sure don't feel like it today? No. Whether you go to heaven or not has absolutely nothing to do with your emotions or my emotions. Whether we go to heaven or not has everything to do with substance and evidence. So in other words, based on the written word of God, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Forget the emotion. Just stick with the facts. What are the facts? Well, the Bible tells us about the facts. The Bible says, these things have I, what? Written unto you that, what? Believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me ask you something. Do you believe on the name of the Son of God? Who is the Son of God? The Son of God is Jesus, God Almighty in the flesh. Do you believe on Him? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know. Now that know is not N-O. What is it? It's K-N-O-W. What's the difference? Well, know is not. But to know is to have that information. That ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life. You know, the Bible only talks about one type of salvation, and it's eternal. Eternal life. The Bible never talks about a temporary salvation. The Bible never talks about a probationary salvation. It's always eternal. When we believe on the name of the Son of God, we know that we have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Just to make sure you had it down in your mind, the Lord put it in there very clearly. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. What is the summary? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And then just to repeat it again, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things are written. It has nothing to do with emotion. So if someone says to you, are you going to heaven when you die? Well, the question is, have you believed on the name of the Son of God? Have you believed upon Jesus as your Savior? That is the question. It has nothing to do with emotions. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, who? The Lord Jesus. And shalt believe, where? In thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus, the pure and precious Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, came to this earth through a miraculous virgin birth. It took that to be born without a sin nature. All of us have sin natures. The Messiah, the Savior, must not have a sin nature if he's to die for us. And that's what he did. He died for us on the cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He gave his blood on the cross, and the previous verse told us that. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet, what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Well, let's get back to our prayer list. So, people stop praying because they lack faith. They faint. So where do we get faith? We get it from the Bible. Our prayer lives should not be an emotional roller coaster. If they're that way, then we need to confess that and get back in the Word of God so we have faith. So last time we looked at this. The first point in this prayer list we looked at last time was asking the Lord to forgive us of our sins. Psalm 38:18, I will declare mine iniquity. I will be what? Sorry for my sin. So we're talking about sincerity. When we ask God to forgive us, we must be sincere, or it's just empty words. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no sin too bad for God to forgive. It's the devil that wants you to think God will not forgive you, but he will. Now, if God has forgiven us of our sins and we're saved, then why do we have to confess our sins if they're already forgiven? Well, this chapter talks a lot about fellowship. Look in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So we're talking about each of us need to daily ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, to restore the fellowship. You know, when you are married, husbands and wives may offend each other in some ways. Maybe they don't appreciate each other like they ought to. Maybe they get a little cross with them. That does not end your marriage. Although in this world we live in, if you continually offend someone, sadly there are many divorces. But what we need to do with our husband or wife is we need to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I offended you. And what does that do? That doesn't mean you have to get remarried. What it does is restore your fellowship. Sometimes we feel so far away from God, and the reason is because we've sinned. And what we need is not to get saved again. What we need is to get the fellowship right with him, so we can have sweet communion. And then after we have things right with God, we need to be right with our fellow men. So we need to pray. The second part here is we need to ask God to help us to forgive others who have wronged us. Excuse me, in Matthew 6:15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, once again, does this mean if you will not forgive someone that you've lost your salvation? No, we've already covered that. But you lose that fellowship. You lose that fellowship. And David talked about that. You know, David sinned a very grievous sin. But he said this in Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Not hear me. Have you ever wronged someone and they wouldn't listen to you? I mean, they heard you, but they wouldn't listen to you. In other words, they hear you talking, but they're not going to answer until you get things right. That is the idea with this verse right here. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear me in regard to answering that prayer request. So we need to make sure that we are right with God. You may say, well, I've been praying and praying and praying about something and God just doesn't seem to answer. Might it be that we have sinned against Him and have failed to confess it and make things right with Him? That might be a possibility. Not only must we be right with God, as I said, but right with our fellow man. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another. And then what? Tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here's the standard. What has God forgiven you of? Well, I could go on a long time making a huge list, and I can't even remember all the things that God has forgiven me of. You know what? He is the standard. As He has forgiven me, I need to forgive others. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you want to be able to pray and get answers to prayer? I do. And I know you do. You want to be able to pray and get answers from God. But you know what? If we are not willing to forgive other people and to be tender-hearted, then we are not going to get answers to our prayer. We have got to truly forgive from our hearts. We must be tender-hearted. Does anything come to your mind when I say this? Has someone ever wronged you and has come to you and asked for forgiveness, but you said, oh, I'll think about it? Or you may have said, well, it's going to take time, so don't push me. Have you ever said anything like that to someone? Have I ever felt that way? If someone wronged me, maybe hurt me really bad, and then they came to me wanting forgiveness, and maybe even said, no, I'm not ready to forgive. There's a lot of people living in that state right now. No, I'm not going to forgive you. Maybe down the road, but no, I'm not going to forgive you right now. Well, you know what the price for that attitude is? Not getting your prayers answered. Is that worth it? Is it worth holding a grudge and not getting your prayers answered? Well, definitely not. That's a poor trade. No. And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How many of you have ever made a mistake in your life? I don't know if your hand is up, but my hand is. How many of you have made more than one mistake in your life? How many of you have ever done something and you were just thoroughly embarrassed afterwards? How many of you have done something and you felt so bad? I mean, you just felt worthless. What did you want? What did you desire at that time? Compassion. You needed compassion. You needed someone to have compassion on you. Someone who would be willing to forgive you. That's what you needed. You know what? That is exactly what God asks of us. To have compassion. Compassion. In Hebrews 4:14, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be what? Touched with the feeling of what? Our infirmities. When someone wrongs you or someone wrongs me, are we touched? I mean, are we really touched in our hearts? Are we willing to turn it around and think, you know what? What if I was in that person's shoes and I had done that against someone? I would feel so lousy. And especially if I go ask for forgiveness and they say, no, at least not now. It's a horrible spot to be in, isn't it? It's a horrible spot to be in when someone will not forgive you. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but maybe there's someone in your life that has never forgiven you of what you did to them. Let's turn it around. Is there someone in your life that has wronged you? And you were not willing to forgive it that day, that week, that month, that year. In fact, maybe for decades, you've been holding a grudge against someone who wronged you, maybe terribly wronged you. And you will not forgive. That's what hinders praying and getting answers to prayer. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Who are we talking about here? Who is this great high priest? It's Jesus, the perfect and pure Son of God. Can you imagine it that He is touched with our infirmities? Touched with the feeling of our infirmities? He's God. He's perfect. You know, there might be something that never tempts you, but it might tempt someone else. Maybe you've never been tempted to do drugs or alcohol or gambling. Maybe those things have never tempted you, but maybe to someone else, they lost their home because they couldn't stop gambling. They lost their home because they couldn't stop drinking. They lost their marriage because they couldn't quit using drugs. And you're thinking, I don't know what's wrong with them. The weaklings, pitiful. Why can't they just straighten up? Well, if something has never tempted you strongly, that's the attitude that normally it's easy to have. Like, come on, you know, get a life. Why are you so weak? You just fall to everything. Consider this. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in what? All points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, when Jesus walked this earth, He faced every temptation that we face. And He was successful. You know what? All of us have failed many times. But the amazing thing is that He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is perfect, but He's touched with our infirmities. He's touched by our failures. He really cares. He really cares about you. And so you can go to Him. And you know what He says then? Watch this. This is amazing. Let us, therefore, who? Us. Us weak sinners, us failures so many times, let us come what? Boldly. You know, it's hard to do anything boldly when you've sinned, isn't it? When you've failed, when you've miserably failed, it's hard to do anything boldly. We just feel like going and crawling in the corner and hiding. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. You're kidding. Bold, how can I come boldly into the throne of grace? How can I come boldly to God's throne? I'm a miserable sinner. How can I come boldly to His throne? Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. Do you know why? Because He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's why. That's why we can obtain mercy, because He's touched. He looks at us and doesn't say, "You miserable, weak sinner, there's no excuse for you." No, He's touched. His heart is touched. And then we can obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in time of need. This is why we can come to Him and pray, because we have someone whose ear, whose heart is touched at our cry. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'll tell you who is trying to whisper in your ear saying, "Don't pray, he won't listen." You know who that is? The devil. It's the devil whispering in your ear that he doesn't care. But he does care. God does care. When no one else does, he still cares. And that, my friend, is exactly why God requires this of us. And be what? Kind one to another. Then what? Tender-hearted. Are you tender-hearted? Who has wronged you in your life? Are you tender-hearted toward them when you think of them now? Or are you still angry? Are you still unforgiving? Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And He has forgiven. And He has a tender heart. Have you stopped praying because you feel like it doesn't do any good? Let me ask you something. Is there anyone that God brings to your mind right now that brings up to you saying, "You have not forgiven that person"? It may have happened yesterday. It may have happened last week, last month, last year. It may have happened when you were but a child. It does not matter when it happened. The thing you must settle, you need to forgive that person if you want your prayers answered. Will you forgive that person like God is willing to forgive you? He has a tender heart toward you. Will you have a tender heart toward the one who has wronged you? I pray you will. And today, maybe you've never experienced the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you can right now. It's not based on emotion. It's based upon the facts. Will you receive Him as your Savior? Remember, the Bible told us in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Thou shalt be saved. Will you call upon Him today? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Does not say might be. It says shall be saved. It has nothing to do with our emotions from day to day. It has everything to do with the facts. The written Word of God. Will you receive Him today if you have not? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. I pray You'd help these dear folks. Father, it may be that some of them have given up on praying. They become discouraged. And Father, it might be that there's something in the past, someone in the past, that has never been forgiven of the wrong that they did toward this person. I pray today that they would forgive that person, that they would ask for Your forgiveness for holding a grudge. And I ask, Lord, that they would contact that person and apologize for holding the grudge and tell them they do forgive them. Lord, we know that You want to answer prayer. Father, You know there are many people that need prayer. Our nation is in desperate need of prayer. But we need to be right with You to be able to pray. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in each of our hearts. May we be right with You and right with all other people so that You can hear our prayers. We ask in Jesus' name.